Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Cellini, Firmino, the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. It's tax day. What's your favorite song about paying or not paying? It's up to you. It's the X Platform question of the day at Road Dog, 680 at Matt Lear, at Chris Domino, at Cellini, Nick at 680 The Fan. 1 o'clock hour brought to you by AquaGuard. Notice cracked bricks, floor gaps, or bowed basement walls. The experts from AquaGuard can provide a free inspection. If you're ready to fix your sagging, bouncy floors, visit AquaGuard.net.
It is up to you if you want to pay your taxes. Here's what I would tell you, though. You're on borrowed time. You're on borrowed time. Unless you go live in another country, you can't get extradited. I don't know how much money you really owe if the government's going to come after you that hard. But they know everything. You know what they're like? They're like a bigger Augusta.
Yeah.
They know everything.
That's why if you're the top amateur, Neil Shipley, you're looking out of the corner of your eye the entire time like he was yesterday.
He was
just waiting for somebody to pull him off.
You know what he realized?
Of the Augusta National Course.
He realized he wasn't in Waffle House anymore. He was very comfortable in Waffle House. Do you know what his technique is at Waffle House? You cut a piece of the sausage. You break one of the quarter slices of toast bread, fold it in half, put eggs on it, and make, as he called it, a breakfast sandwich. He was very comfortable there.
Looking at him, I'm not surprised at all.
He
enjoyed that. Not comfortable at Augusta National, but a guy like that would be very comfortable to no one's surprise at the Waffle House.
I do like the idea that he's not false bravadoing his way. That could be the last. He said, I wanted to take it in. This could be the last time I play a round at Augusta. And he is right about that.
And for those that don't know, he played that round on Sunday with Tiger Woods,
who was making his 100th trip around it. This kid was making his fourth. He had a high school golfing teammate be his caddy that day, who got to also meet Tiger Woods.
You believe that's a this great rounder playing with Tiger Woods?
I know.
No, cool.
Hold on. No. We're not playing. I'm playing. You're caddying. I'm playing.
So, Mr. Woods, how's this hole treating you? What? Sorry. I'm just trying to make a conversation. I'm nervous.
I think that's one of those moments, don't speak until spoken to. I don't think you want to be the starter of the conversation. You just play along after Tiger starts.
So, your back hurting you? Yeah, my back's hurting me. Now my ears are hurting me. Stop talking to me.
Do you know the best thing that happened to them? Wasn't the best thing. Tiger shot his worst round ever. The best thing that happened to them was Tiger shot his worst round ever. If Tiger's, trying to dial in and shoot a 70, you're probably not getting anything out of the guy. At a certain point, even Tiger looks at the board and goes, all right, yeah, what do you want to talk about? I'm going to open book.
So, how's Charlie? He's my son. He's good. Just kind of looks at him. Again, can I play now?
I don't think he was. I think at 48 with a terrible round.
Dude, shut up.
Yeah.
Neil Shipley's the
yell. You told me you'd shut up.
Shut up, dude.
I told you not to say anything to him. It's Mr. Woods to you, by the way. Idiot.
I mean, how surreal must that say? The whole thing top to bottom for this kid. And I'll call him a kid. Because he's got the mentality of a little kid being there golfing with Tiger Woods.
Except he's getting a master's degree in something. He's at Ohio State. He's playing golf, I think, for Ohio State.
He's a Pittsburgh kid.
Didn't he get
at Ohio State?
He got an undergrad in something.
Yeah.
Oh, I think he's getting his master's in quantitative finances.
He's a Western PA kid. He's out there golfing with Tiger Woods. I mean, and his buddy's out there with him.
I'm going to tell you.
This is unbelievable, dude. Shut up, man.
I saw the
You're
video.
Blowing it.
I saw the video of him at Waffle House and him at the end of this round yesterday. He was much more comfortable at Waffle House.
Oh, yeah.
He has been there, done that.
Scottie Scheffler, very comfortable in his own skin, very comfortable as a golfer. So Scheffler becomes only the fifth golfer in Masters history to win multiple green jackets by three strokes or more, joining Tiger, Seve Ballesteros, Jack Nicklaus, and Sam Snead. That's the company now Scottie Scheffler is keeping.
Well, is he 27? So he's got a couple in his first few times.
Yeah, he's 27.
Yeah.
Fourth youngest golfer to win multiple green jackets.
Right.
Jack Nicklaus,
who was over 25. Tiger, 25. Seve, 26. They're the only ones who are younger.
I watched a really good piece. Jim Nantz, I will give him credit. He did a sit-down with Jose Mario Thobel that ran on, was it Sunday or Saturday? Might have been Saturday. About the Spaniards. It was about Seve to him to Sergio to John Rahm. It was really good. Olafable got really emotional about a couple of things.
These are the times of your life.
Yeah. See?
Do you remember?
Yeah, that's why I'm talking to you. I do remember. You asked me a question. I'm going to tell you a story. Jose Maria Olafable did not say that once. That was Jim Nantz on Sunday when it was not good.
Why do you?
He's better pre-recorded is what I think I'm saying.
Why do you keep bringing up Paulenka to me? I don't understand.
Do you know Olafable's, like, medical, what happened to him at one point? He could hardly walk, let alone he came back to win his second green jacket. So it was a really good piece. I think my point is when Jim Nantz sits down and somebody can edit it, and do I like that, do I not, I think he's better. He's not terrible. He just had a bad moment. He's had a few of those. We all have. How about
it was
that?
It was a very, very awkward presentation inside a Butler cabin with Ridley and Nantz on one side, Shipley.
Oh, this kid's got the darting eyes.
And Scotty Scheffler on the other side, as you said, the darting eyes. Neil Shipley keeps looking out of the right corner of his eyes. And then you got John Rahm, who clearly wanted to be any place but there presenting the green jacket. Yeah. Right smack dab in the middle.
You mean I got to stick around today? Like, till the end? That's what John Rahm, he had a look on his face like that. He didn't look as happy as some of these guys are. I don't even know if they have a relationship. Maybe they, how do you not like Scotty Scheffler? I'm going to tell you the crazy part. The other thing I watched on Saturday, Greg Norman was a fan favorite at Augusta. Like, he was a fan favorite. Now he's lurking around as a patron because he couldn't get a pass from...
He's got a badge.
What's that?
He's got a badge.
He did say he bought it on the secondary market. Is that allowed?
I don't know.
I don't know if that's allowed.
They're going to look into it. That I can promise you.
They don't want him on the grounds again. His son did confirm. Greg Norman, there was a Greg Norman Jr. I have his Twitter thing here where he just said something about... Yeah, hold on. That's what he says. My dad paid for a ticket on the secondary market to attend the Masters as a patron. He was denied one directly after going through the proper professional channels.
I'll tell you the one thing I was noticing, and maybe it's been there before, but for some reason I just noticed it this year. Those grandstands they have set up, like around, is it 17 or 18? I can't imagine just kind of sitting there all day and waiting for people to just parade through. That's, to me, there's nothing exciting about that.
It's the best sporting event on TV.
I know.
You do want to go.
You don't see a lot.
No. You do want to go.
Experience the... Yes. You know, pomp and circumstance. Yes. But just sitting there, you're missing a lot, man.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't want to say this out loud because I don't want to. I don't even understand going to a golf tournament. And if I'm not good, once you've seen the grounds, once you did it, I've been lucky. I saw a practice round. I saw a par 3 day. I saw a Thursday. I've never been to a Saturday, but I've been 5 times. Somebody asked me, and I was just like, no, take somebody who wants to go more. I wouldn't go on Saturday or Sunday. I've been offered. Why would I go on Saturday or Sunday? It's phenomenal TV.
I agree.
I wouldn't have known what was happening with kaplunk, kaplunk into the weeds.
Yeah.
If I'm on the course someplace.
Colin Morikawa, double bogeys on 9 and 11. Max Homa doing what he did. You miss all that. I mean, I'm sure you have a better experience now.
You hear the roars. That's what they tell you.
But remember, you can't have your cell phone, so you can't watch anything.
No.
You're sitting there looking at the sky.
Well, you wait for the leaderboard.
Wondering why people are cheering.
No, you wait for the leaderboard.
I know, but you miss it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm looking at a leaderboard. It's a stagnant thing with numbers on it. When you're offering me the best televised sporting event in the world, they do it better than any. Do you know why they are still private? Part of it is they'd rather pay the taxes that comes with being. They're a profit. They're a for-profit. Most of these other things are non-profit. That way they can tell you. We don't have to tell you who's here. Don't have to tell you how much any of this costs. Yeah. That's in part why that deal with CBS, there must be people at CBS who crap their pants every day today.
What's it running
Because yet? The Masters could put themselves in the portal.
It's none of you.
What?
None of your business.
And why are they allowed to say that? Because they're a for-profit.
That's it.
I ain't got to tell you nothing.
It's none of your business, like we said.
Move along.
We'll talk about the business of the Braves and why perhaps this isn't sustainable in about 10, 15 minutes from now. But speaking of golf, attention avid golfers, escape the mundane and experience the incredible beauty of Atlanta National Golf Club with Pete Dye's only Metro Atlanta course, a fully renovated clubhouse, a new restaurant, cutting-edge golf simulators, a brand-new fitness studio, and new event spaces. They've got it all, and don't miss the complimentary membership open house It's happening April the 20th, 5 days from now, 11 to 3. Visit AtlantaNationalGolfClub.com to RSVP and come and join us for an unforgettable day at the club. I may go in there and do some pull downs.
I wish I had time to check that out.
Do you want to golf? No, I'm just working out.
Do you think you could pay $5 daily?
Sir, this isn't a YMCA.
Can you pay $5 daily? How many planes?
That's not how this works.
How many private jets do you think landed in Augusta over the course of the week?
Okay, that's a very good question.
All right, well, I have an answer too.
But I'll be more exact. 35.
1,500. You're terrible. 1,500 private jets.
I think I just hit a new low.
They pay about $3,000 in landing and parking fees. How much money do you think by the hour the merchandise sale is? How much do you think they make an hour, take in an hour?
You just love embarrassing me, don't you?
No. How much do you think they take in an hour?
$10,000 an hour.
$1 million per hour. Boy, you are terrible at this.
A little bit off.
You are truly terrible at this. All right. That's enough. Listen, I didn't want to embarrass you that much.
Well, you did.
Yeah.
I hope you're happy. Want to hear from Scottie Scheffler? Let's play
as
the cut.
As much as possible. You want to know why?
Yeah.
Because I'm okay with him being better.
Adam, let's play the cut about Scottie Scheffler just wanting to get out of Augusta National as soon as possible.
I feel like playing professional golf is an endlessly not satisfying career. For instance, all I can think about right now is getting home. I'm not thinking about the tournament. I'm not thinking about the green jacket. I'm trying to answer your questions. I'm trying to get home. I wish I could soak this in a little bit more. Maybe I will tonight when I get home. But at the end of the day, I think that's what the human heart does. You always want more. And winning this golf tournament does not change my identity. My identity is secure, and I cannot emphasize that enough.
I believe him. Normally, you know, I don't believe this stuff. I'm saying, come on, normally, 9 times out of 10. Maybe I'm a sucker. I believe the guy when he says that.
But the only thing I'll say is, and believe me, he is, I have no problem telling you what I know surfacely about this guy, and I don't know anything other than what I hear and read. He's a much better person than me. So I can't call him a liar or a thief or cheat or any of these things because I don't know any of that to be true. But I will say this, though. May I? If I may approach the bench.
Okay.
He is still playing in it. It must mean something to him, right?
He's competitive, but this is not what, like Tiger, this is not going to consume him.
But he is still playing in it.
Sure.
That means it matters. And how people talk about you.
It matters, but in the grand scheme of things, okay, it doesn't matter.
If you finish 48th and 43rd and 24th at Augusta, you know what they don't talk to you like about.
But he's telling you he's going to be the same guy.
I understand.
No matter what.
But it matters enough to get him there. He's got to go bust his ass practicing because something must matter. He said it and I heard it. I'm a little bit torn because I want to win, but I also know that I've won in life. And he got into some of his beliefs, religious beliefs. All cool. But I do know that it must mean something because now you're being looked at, talked about as a two-time champion at 27, with lists and names like Jack Nicklaus and Sam Snead.
I'll say this, though. How often do you see a guy win the Masters and let his caddy walk ahead of him? Because that's what Scottie Scheffler did for Ted Scott. He let his caddy walk ahead of him.
We have the sound of that. Do we not have the cut? Because he's got to let it be known. Like, his caddy didn't know this was happening. He didn't just get the flag. He got the pin, and he's walking through. Have you ever seen in, like, those movies, the ones that you hate, the period pieces?
Yeah.
Where the lead guy on the horse who's going to get shot, he's got the flag.
To follow him, right?
Right. So listen to how this all starts, because he's got family members there, but he doesn't tell his sister, doesn't tell his agent, doesn't tell his dad. Listen to this. Hey, Teddy!
Hey, Teddy!
Woo! Teddy! Teddy.
He doesn't want to make the walk alone this time.
Gets him in a headlock.
And now the crowd realizes what's happened. Yeah. The applause gets louder.
What a gesture.
Because that's
Jim knew. You want to criticize the guy, he knew.
Do you remember Palenka?
I was watching.
Was all on
I know,
top
I heard.
Of it.
Hey, Teddy, I knew what was going to happen. What do you mean he knew?
Just tell him.
He knew when I knew. Hey, Teddy.
Everybody else started applauding later on. He knew. He was ahead of the curve, Jim Nance, in that regard.
Okay. All right, but I enjoyed that he not only walked with him, he let the guy walk out in front.
The last 35 days, Scheffler has won 3 times. Arnold Palmer, Invitational, the Players, and now the Masters. And that means Teddy has made some money as well.
Hold on. He's won 3 times in the last how many days?
35 days.
So that he probably made like $44,000.
Yeah, a little bit more than that. Even I know that much.
Oh.
Teddy Scott's sitting pretty. So he makes, what, $300,000?
Yeah, supposedly the job pays
for
all the responsibilities. But it's also you got to get to and from. And
then you get the bonuses if you win.
Yeah, it's purse. Whether it's 10% or not, I believe Scottie Scheffler pays him like it's tithing. I don't think Scheffler's a 7%er. I think when you let a guy walk in front of you, you've paid him well. He loves you. You love him. And this guy's now won four. He's been on the bag for four winners. He had two of Bubba Watson's.
I'm going to step out of character here, and maybe it's completely uncalled for. So I apologize to you, Chris, if I am, and everybody else out there. You're not a patron if you're an agent. Wear pants. An agent wears pants. That's all I'm going to say. His agent had those shorts on and that T-shirt on. Put some pants on. Dress accordingly.
It's like Rex Ryan the other day.
You're at Augusta National. Have some respect. You're not just some guy that's there with a badge.
I will give you this. It seems a little strange. Kick it up a notch. And I'm not a guy who really tells you what you should or shouldn't wear.
And I'd be willing to bet.
Go ahead.
I don't know this for sure, but I'd be willing to bet Augusta National they weren't happy either.
You're representing our product, our Masters champion, and you have short pants on. Are you going to go play in a sandbox later?
I mean, I think that they were thinking the same way.
They already told one guy. That stupid vest you got on, Jason Day.
Yeah.
You're not wearing that anymore. What? No, you're not wearing that anymore. It does seem strange that an agent. I when I think of an agent, I don't think of a guy who you grew up with, who shows up at Augusta wearing shorts.
Again, far be it for me to judge anybody's style. I'm just telling you, you're an agent of the Masters champion.
Right.
There's
going to
be Augusta National.
There's going to be a picture taken.
And I'm telling you, the guys in the green jackets, they were muttering.
What are the odds that you have tan legs? Probably not very good.
And they probably told him in no uncertain terms, next year you better have slacks on.
Excuse me, sir. Are those knees? We don't do knees here. Not behind the rope.
Well, it's not about his knee. It's about his elbow. Spencer Strider done for the year. And as we said earlier, is a silver lining?
This is not good.
I'm just trying to look for the positive
here. Stop trying.
We'll talk about it next. Braves.
ABL.
Win yesterday in Miami, win the series. They're in Houston starting that series with the Astros tonight at 8:10. The Ford Leadoff Show coming your way at 6:55 here on your flagship for Braves baseball, the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
That's for sure. He found out the hard way. It being tax day today. It's the X-Platform question of the day here on Cellini and D'Amino, the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM. What's your favorite song about paying or maybe not paying?
Do you know the alleged tie to James Brown and Augusta? Am I going to get you again?
Maybe you will.
James Brown was a caddy for the juniors. One of his bosses saw him perform and said, I got to be honest with you. That's what you should be doing. Allegedly, the story is one of the guys that he worked for at Augusta was the one who said, you should go pursue that.
I never heard that story.
Yeah, I think that's all.
I'm calling bull.
Well, you can call whatever you want, home team.
You better wake up a little bit earlier in the morning to call BS on me.
It's D'Amino's story, and he's sticking to it. The 1 o'clock hour brought to you by AquaGuard. We'll talk about the Braves and what a difference a year makes for one guy in particular, but this guy's year is done. As we all know, Spencer Strider, the internal brace procedure. The Braves made the announcement over the weekend. He had it on Friday, and this is what you talked about. Once an announcement is made, perhaps the surgery will be done. I'm sorry, the procedure in this instance has been done.
I heard from the Hall of Famer because he also buys into what I say. Yeah, surgery is successful. The patient woke up. Now let's find out if they can go do their job the same way.
Chipper Jones.
Yeah, I didn't say any names. I'm just telling you that.
I'm guessing.
when a guy is still under anesthesia, and you're saying it was very successful, he hasn't even wiggled his fingers yet. You're telling me it's successful. Yes, he woke up. Great start. Now, what about the pitching thing? Because I have no idea. I can show you the video of this. It's like a fulcrum. I was trying to explain this, like, you know, your elbow's a fulcrum and it's a little bit of physics involved.
For some reason, I'm envisioning that when we were kids that...
Erector set.
Yes.
Yeah, I have no doubt in
that
your mind.
That particular erector set, that's what I'm thinking is in his elbow, something like that. But yeah, it's not, is it?
Well, he's going to hit a button on his chest like Iron Man. Yeah.
The arm will move.
And at some point, they'll declare it illegal. They'll say that he can't have that.
Did you see what Kenley Jansen had to say about the baseballs?
Yeah.
The closer for the Red Sox. He says, I have no feel for these baseballs. I don't know where it's going.
And that's not even...
That guy doesn't say two words to anybody.
That's not even in cold weather. He's telling you, generally speaking. And his other point is, I've thrown a lot of baseballs. And he has. As in, I've thrown a lot of baseballs, I've thrown a lot of pitches. But I've also thrown a lot of your baseballs. And what you're doing now with this baseball is making it impossible. So that... I was going to play the Tyler Glasnow thing today because we just talked about it. I found an edited, or I edited a little bit, whatever version of it. I don't think I sent it over. But there during one of his things, they show Trevor Bauer with a ball stuck on his hand. So he is sort of the guy who everybody points to and says, oh, look, he thought he was high and mighty talking about spin rates and let's get spider tack out of it. I went into that rosin thing last week and the mud since the 1950s. I saw two parents yesterday. This is a true story. The seventh grade game. Middle school teams. Did Nico play on a middle school team?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was Marist against Blessed Trinity. And I had a conversation with two dads who were asking me about the rosin. They thought I was kidding when I said 1887. I said, I wasn't kidding. It's the first time rosin was used. Guys in IT, I said, what if I told you I'm going to drop 1950s technology on your desk and I'm going to tell you to figure something out? What would happen? He goes, I'd be screwed. I said, yeah, you think? I can't figure it out that even if it's a 10% chance, 15% chance that you're going to get hurt more because there's nothing on the ball except dust, how do you now fix that?
When you have a veteran like Kenley Jansen say he has no idea where the baseball is going, that should be a wake-up call for everybody else around Major League Baseball.
Ask any hitter. What do they want more than anything right now? They want you to have at least an idea of where it's going. So it's not even the hitters that are complaining. The hitters would like something. And Spencer Strider, I don't know. 12. What are they saying? 12 to 14 months on this one? 12 months?
Well, the brace surgery typically is 12 months compared to...
How many guys have had this done to them?
14 to 16 months for Tommy John surgery. Okay. Not a lot.
Yeah,
there's a small sample size when it comes to the brace.
So 12 months. I know what the time is for an ACL. I know what the time is allegedly for a boy versus a girl. Certain age, what it's supposed to be. Not everybody's the same patient. Now, you want to talk about patient. Spencer Strider is going to have to take whatever it is that he has going on in his head, and there's a lot there. He's going to have to take it down.
Well, the good news is, I guess if you want to call it that, this is his second Tommy John surgery or procedure similar to Tommy John. So he's got something to go on.
I have a feeling, though, that there are certain guys who could underthink it or overthink it. If I'm a Braves management, if I'm the manager, if I'm the general manager, I need him to not overthink this. I kind of just need this to be about feel. I need him. Do you believe he felt something in his arm that day?
Yes.
Before any of this?
I think he felt something in his arm his previous start.
Okay. Well, then you have to be with the get up, get down in rehab. There are going to be days you have to put it down. Now, the problem for these guys is if you miss a week of throwing, you didn't miss a week on the back end. You miss more. You sort of get set back. I talked to Johnny Venters about it. It can drive you crazy, but you have to give yourself the best chance.
And Johnny Venter's had how many Tommy John surgeries?
Well, 2.5.
Right.
Because there wasn't enough left around his elbow to really do a full-blown, I think, boring haul.
So they had to drill holes?
No. I think he ran out of room to put holes.
So he had half a Tommy John surgery.
I think it was a half a Tommy
John. He just
John.
Had the Tommy, not the John. And he would know, I guess, is my point.
It doesn't guarantee you anything. I hope you hope he's under contract. The good news for him and his family, he's set for life in that regard. But I don't think that's anywhere near the front of his mind.
Scott Pianowski of Yahoo Sports says, so you want to watch a Cy Young Award winner pitch in the show this week? Any winner from the last 14 years will do. Blake Snell, Corbin Burns. That's it. That's the list. And correct me if I'm wrong, Corbin Burns came off major surgery as well.
I told Kevin McAlpin yesterday, it's funny that this was brought up because I wasn't even talking about the surgeries. I have the checklist of the 10 guys who were shown to throw the hardest over the last few years. Seven of them got X's. they're not pitching right now. They're not active in baseball. But there's pitching matchups that wow you, but there aren't a lot of them in baseball. There wasn't one yesterday where you went, oh, my God.
Yeah, Jason Stark from The Athletic, our friend, went into great detail about injuries. He said the Spencer Strider injury kind of sparked his research. He said of the six men who lead all active pitchers in career ERA, WHIP, and wins above replacement, five of them are in on the injured list at the moment. Justin Verlander.
I hope they got paid.
Clayton Kershaw.
Okay, he got paid.
Max Scherzer.
He got paid.
Jacob DeGrom.
He got paid.
And Garrett Cole.
He got paid.
This is why you have to be careful.
They made it to the payday.
If you're a guy like Alex Anthopoulos, this is why you have to be careful. And I'm not telling him.
Oh, no, he knows.
Anything he doesn't already know. You can't pay a guy like Max Fried. I just can't do it.
Somebody put out what I put out yesterday with that Max Miller guy in Oakland. But last week it was, look at this guy. He's a fireballer. You know, they put out the same type of tweet. He had 100 like 14 times. And people are like, well, when's the surgery? Because it does feel like it's inevitable. Why is Paul Skeens pitching in the minors? I'm going to ask that again. Why are you wasting his bullets down in the minors?
These guys are all going to throw as hard as they can throw.
To get to the majors.
Yeah, have them throw as hard as they can throw here.
In the majors.
And now you've got the conga line that we kind of made fun of last week continuing for the Braves. Darius Vines is going to start tonight. They move back Ronaldo Lopez to tomorrow, Max Fried to Wednesday. And a guy like Charlie Morton, his last two starts, he's been awful. And we talked about this to begin the show. Yeah, you're concerned about the starters, but you're more concerned about the bullpen. Right. They can't keep trucking these guys out there day after day.
Concerned is a good word for both. I'm thinking bigger picture. Like, I don't like piecemealing my rotation. A lot of people in baseball are going to have to do it. The Braves just have to do it sooner. They're playing frontsies, backsies. We'll push him back.
And the Astros are in a similar boat. Yeah, Spencer Adeguedi is going to pitch for the Astros tonight. He's 0-1 with an ERA of 21 because they have a couple of guys in the aforementioned Verlander and Framber Valdez who are injured right now.
Somebody else, too, who might have spit the bit at the end of last year for them. Yeah, it's an epidemic. Where do you think he's from, the way you're so excited to watch this young
man? I mean, that's an Italian name.
I got to find out. Do you think he's, like, from Italy? If I go on his baseball reference, do you think it says Palermo?
I'll be surprised if that's not an Italian last name. It's just like spaghetti.
But maybe it's different. Again, remember, you come over on the boat and they start doing things.
Yeah.
They usually make it a little bit shorter than that, though.
But who knows who Spencer...
How do you spell it?
It is spelled A-R-R... Mm-hmm. I Getty, like spaghetti, G-H-E-T-T-I. They should play this as he's warming up.
What was baseball reference?
The night Spencer Strider got hurt, they were playing Do It Again by Steely Dan.
He was born in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Well, that doesn't mean he's not Italian.
I know, but it's you were making it sound like he came off the boat.
I was born in Richmond Heights, Ohio. I'm Italian. My grandparents came off the boat. I was born here.
Nobody expects for you to have the Tarantella playing when you walk in. You're an American citizen. So is
River Derrick.
You made it sound like they discovered him over in Italy.
No, that's not what I meant.
Oh, they found him in the Florence League.
Strong to his roots is Marcell Ozuna. He loves his hometown, his self-proclaimed hometown of Miami. Down to their last strike yesterday with the Braves. You know what happened. Marcell Ozuna cracks that three-run homer, and the closer, Tanner Scott, threw to him on Saturday, and let's just say that Marcell Ozuna kind of remembered what was in store.
Yesterday, he threw the same sequence on the pitch. So he threw me slider corner away, and then slider inside, and then slider down. I broke in my back, and double play. So today, I say, like, okay, you're going to play back. I tell before they are about to Orson. I said to Orson, hey, Orson, you're going to play back because you're not going to do the same thing like yesterday.
He's talking to Ozzy. Is that what he said?
I don't know what he
said. Or Olson. I think he said Matt Olson because Olson walked before him.
Okay, he must have said Ole. Yeah, that's what he said, Ole.
Leads Major League Baseball, Ozuna with 21 RBIs, 7 home runs, tied for first. He's hitting .373. And he drove in a run in the seventh inning, if I'm not mistaken, to make it a one-run game. And then he does that. 9-7 is your final yesterday.
He is the mayor of Miami.
Apparently, because last year going into Miami on May the 2nd, he was 5-for-59. And then he takes off after that. Since that weekend last year in Miami, He's got 39 home runs, third in baseball over that span. Here's Marcell Ozuna talking about the difference this year.
Confidence. So when you got your confidence, everything going to see well, and then you can hit better. If you don't have no confidence, you're going to be like struggling. Like at the first month of the year, last year, I have all the thing in my head. But right now, I know how I have my mind clear, and then I can do whatever God give me to do.
I mean, that wasn't a strike at all.
Oh, no.
And he golfs it out of the park.
Well, he's already gotten busted a couple of times on called third strike, so he probably doesn't want to live in that world again.
But speaking of which, Angel Hernandez did it again to a player from the Texas Rangers over the weekend. Three strikes he called well out of the strike zone. Do you believe what I'm saying? He's doing this now on purpose. He's trying to get Major League Baseball to buy him out. Nobody can unintentionally be this incompetent. It's impossible.
I'm just not sure why you have that job. Again, like it's a Supreme Court justice job. Like, who's above being graded to the point where they can send you away? Now you know what you don't want to do? You don't want to kick them out of baseball. You don't want to tell, hey, you get out of here. You tell them, well, you know, you've been demoted. They have to come up with a plan that says you can get demoted.
You can't have this guy continuing to umpire. Those pitches were nowhere near the strike zone. Wyatt Langford, I believe, was the player for the Rangers that gets called out on strikes. He doesn't even say anything. He just goes back to the dugout because it's just Angel being Angel.
Oh, no, that's not acceptable. He's
Enrico Palazzo now. Mm-hmm. That's who Angel Hernandez is. He might as well just start dancing up and down the first base line, doing the splits when he calls a strike. Because he's the same comedy show, clown show, that Enrico Palazzo in The Naked Gun was. There's no difference.
That lawsuit is all closed up, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he lost, right? Didn't he lose? Okay. I'd throw him out for that. Sue me, I'll sue you. You get out of here. But they need a demotion. They need to be relegated. There has to be a relegated. I guess the Umpires Union is either too good at it, or they've worked that in where that can't be done. It does seem you can be bad. Let me ask you this.
Because like Cowboy Joe West, was he a bad umpire or was he just an egotistical umpire?
Yes, certainly the latter. I don't think he was a bad umpire.
This guy is just a horrible, incompetent umpire. You could pull a guy off a Little League field that would be a better umpire than Angel Hernandez.
If you
couldn't be any worse.
Well, calling balls and strikes, it's pretty universal.
I mean, it's hyperbole, I know, but it's probably not all that off base. No pun intended.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. I don't know what the end game can be. Because if you're not getting scolded even where you go, well, I've had enough of you people, and he quits, he just gets the next assignment. He just won't work in a postseason. He's going to get assignments for 162, whatever it is, games.
He's not working in the postseason. He knows he's not going to work in the postseason. He tried to sue Major League Baseball for discrimination. He lost that. He's a bitter employee that's doing everything he can right now to get baseball to buy him out. That's my theory.
You know what he should start doing? He should start calling balls and strikes before the ball crosses the plate.
Like again, Nielsen did.
As soon as a pitcher is just letting right out of his fingertips. Let's cut to the chase.
He might as well at this point. I mean, he's had five massively blown calls already this season.
Well, and social media is letting you know that every time this happens, here comes the box. He's not a concern of mine until maybe he's umping in a Braves game. I don't even want to waste my time or breath thinking about him unless he's in this ballpark or someplace else. But it does seem incredible that they've built up the power where you can't be relegated.
Also, Bob Nightingale from USA Today, while we're on the topic of baseball, says that Major League Baseball is expected to quickly interview and clear Shohei Ohtani of any wrongdoing once the federal government's investigation is done. We saw some of those transcripts from Ipe Mezuhara and someone called Bookmaker One. Mm-hmm. And Bookmaker One was asked the question by Mizuhara, have you seen the reports? And Bookmaker One responded with, yeah, but it's all BS. Obviously, you didn't steal from him. I understand it's a cover job. I totally get it. Mizuhara then responded, technically, I did steal from him. It's all over.
But the bookmaker thought like I thought. All right, so you're gonna have to fall on a sword.
Okay, what does that mean, technically?
I don't know when he went to law school.
Either you stole from somebody or you didn't steal from somebody.
Was that my money?
There's nothing technical about it.
Was that my money or his money? And did I take it when it wasn't my money? It seems like stealing. The definition of stealing seems to be, the requirement seems to be filled.
They're trying to sweep this under the carpet a little too quickly for my liking.
There's no doubt in my mind. They don't want to call this a cold case, so they're going to interview Ohtani. Can I play Shohei Ohtani Theater?
Shohei Ohtani Theater. This may be a first.
I'm going to be Shohei Ohtani.
Who am I?
And I'm not going to be offensive, by the way. Like, I'm not going to do anything that's going to get anybody in trouble. Thank you. You be the investigator, and you need to speak with me.
Hi, I'm Investigator Olson, Mr. Otani. What do you want me to ask you?
Good afternoon, Mr. Olson. Ask me my name.
What's your name?
Shohei Otani.
What else?
Here's what you say. This is concluded. We are done here.
Thank you.
And I get dismissed.
Thank you for coming in, Mr. Otani.
We've got everything we need.
That's all. If we have any other questions, we'll call you. We won't, but if we do, we'll call you. But we won't.
This is too juicy not to have more layers. Come on, don't rob me of this. Let me at least think that something else is going on.
Well, someone, as you like to say, the trash pickers are out there. Somebody, if there's something to be uncovered, somebody's going to find something. I mean, they already found this transcript that I don't think was supposed to leak out.
Do you know a bookmaker has already said, oh, yeah, but you're just the cover, right? You're just the cover. That's what...
Yeah. I understand it's a cover job. I totally get it. That's right. What Bookmaker once said. Right. Again, I don't think this was really supposed to be out there.
No, but here's who I trust. Bookmaker one to understand what's going on more than some slappy who's going to walk in the major league under the guise of a major league interviewer. How is your day going, Shohei? How's your day going? I'm asking you.
How's my day going? It's going fine. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, we're done here. Thank you, Mr. Otani, for your time and your patience.
This investigation
We appreciate you cooperating the way you did, sir.
Now concluded. Tied up in a nice, neat bow. Chuck and Chernoff will be in next after Domino gets some stuff off his chest. How much stuff do you have? It was a heck of a weekend.
Yeah, I got the Food Network thing. Mm-hmm. Food Network-y, TikTok-y type thing.
Gotcha. That idea you pitched.
This is probably a piece of sound left over. I'll play it. And then I'm going to set up. Can I tease something for tomorrow?
For tomorrow?
Yeah.
Next segment. For tomorrow.
Because I have to investigate.
All right.
I have a piece of sound from somebody who wants to tell me something about the Falcons losing to the Patriots.
Okay, fair enough.
But I need to get verification before I'm willing to go on the air with it.
All of that is next. We'll talk to Chuck and Chernoff. Go back in time to wrap up a Monday. It's Chiellini. It's Domino. It's The Fan. 680 and 93.7 FM.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
Who does number two work for?
Oh, by the way, this is a Dickey Broadcasting Company. Chiellini, Domino, wrapping up a Monday. Chuck and Chernoff are here with us as well. We're back in time in a few minutes. Get their thoughts on the weekend that was as well. But first, Domino has to get a few things out into the open.
Yeah, Bobby Miller, Sandy Alcantara, Yuri Perez, Spencer Strider, Shane McClanahan, Shohei Ohtani.
Whose arms have exploded?
Cole. Yeah. So those guys all have, I'm not even lying, they have X's next to their name. But you know what? On top of that, an almost $900 million in career earnings. So I'm looking, and all of them did get paid. Yuri Perez hasn't got paid yet, but all of them got paid before whatever it is they're dealing with right now. But
this is a bad time for Max Fried to be a free agent, it seems.
We've been talking about it for weeks. I think he's going to follow the Blake Snell and the Jordan Montgomery. Like,
there's going to be amazing test cases. Pete Alonso is an amazing test case. Juan Soto is going to be an amazing. Max Fried is going to be an amazing test case. So, and there's a lot of people saying that Boris, remember Jordan Montgomery dumped him.
Right.
He's got Soto.
Yep.
As long as he has Soto, he could still look at me. I've got hand.
And you're going to need it.
Whether Juan Soto stays with him or not. Let me tell you when Juan Soto could drop him. 2 weeks after free agency opens and Juan hasn't seen anything that starts with a 4+, he might get dropped right at that moment. So, but again, those are the $900 million worth of
arms that are on the show. We're not doing it correctly. We're not doing pitchers correctly.
So let me let you hear this. Speaking of the Masters, Nick Saban was over there, and he became America's guest for a second. Listen to how easy breezy he sounds about retirement.
Well, the best thing is I spent 50 years being in a hurry and didn't even know it. So when I retired and sat back and didn't have so many things to do, I figured out that that wasn't normal. Didn't really want to quit working.
Yeah.
Just didn't want to ride the program down because of my age and didn't really want to have to work all the time.
You surprised he used age himself? He didn't want to run it down because of his age.
Well, he acknowledged that when he quit. He said, at 72, doing these things, and he went through, bam, bam, bam. He said, at 72, it's a lot harder to do
it. And he says, now if I get my chores done, Miss Terry lets me play golf.
Very funny. That's a great line. I got my stuff done. I get to go play, which right now he's probably in a good spot. I wonder where he looks wonderful. I wonder where he's going to be in 12 months itching.
Glad to be here.
Because a guy like that needs to work.
He hasn't gone through a season yet.
But I think he's right about the draft stuff and being on this show or that show when he chooses. He almost looks so healthy that I believed everything he said there.
I just
he did look younger already.
So you guys saw the Tom Brady stuff already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These guys who are workaholics, they might not ever come back, but they'll listen. Somebody will call Nick. He'll kind of like listen and see. You just can't help it.
You want to be courted.
74-year-old didn't start a program.
Okay.
I think you just want to be courted. You want to be wanted.
Absolutely.
Well, how about this then? You just go stand on the sideline for a couple of days of practice someplace.
Sure.
And you become, you know, you get a little bit of a fix and then you get to go home.
I need you to need me.
I never heard this story.
I'd love you to love me.
I never heard this story before. I'm a little bit surprised. Now, I don't know if he's telling the absolute truth, but I'm going to go with it. Nate Robinson talking about Doc Rivers.
I don't know what Doc is going to do now that Doc is there in the Bucks. It seemed like he messed up every place he go.
Oh,
I still got a little beef with Doc. I had it in my contract where I made like $2 million. It's like 1.5 or something like that if I played a certain amount of games.
Ooh.
Doc River gives me a DNP, the game where I needed one more game to get $1.5 million. The real in me wanted to just go sub in and just say, yeah, sub.
So he wanted to sub himself in.
Doc Rivers doesn't seem to have a lot of friends in the NBA, does he?
I'm going to guess in that case, though, that's an organizational thing.
Of course it is.
Oh, that's
the coach is always going to go, here, go in for 5 minutes.
How great would it have been if he checked himself in and gotten in the books?
Danny Ainge gave him two Hall of Famers in the same offseason to go with the one who was already there, and then he won a title. Before that, they called him dumb in the papers in Boston.
Well, he just was told. You just heard Doc Rivers was put on blast. He ain't got no place else to go because he blanks everything up.
That's
everywhere he's been. All right, I want to do this as my dump thing. I am not a food person, and I don't claim to be. So anybody who gets angry, what are you doing talking about food? I talk about what I know. I talk about what I don't like. I don't critique. I believe the Food Network is a scam because only because again, you can have it on, but if you're never going to make it, and you certainly don't get a chance to eat it. Why do I care that a guy taking a bite of it says, wow, this is really good? I don't understand that as TV. That's me. I don't understand it. So I'm not saying you don't watch. I'm just saying that I figured out I'm never going to make it.
Did you ever watch the Masters?
I would never
eat
that.
Because you ain't playing there either. I mean,
it's a fair point.
Like, you're never ever going to play in Augusta.
They're keeping score. Somebody putting a fork in their mouth telling me how good or not good something is. It doesn't do me any good. I can look at the board and go, you know what, that guy had a good day or not.
I'm sorry, that gives you a score.
Most of what we turn to television for is stuff that's beyond our reach.
Right, and the Food Network is the greatest scam of all time in that regard, in my opinion.
Chuck, but if let you him like cook. Watching He's it, cooking. Let him work.
It's a 24-hour network. They have to find programming.
You don't want to watch how to make a croque madame or a croque monsieur?
I don't.
What?
I don't. I don't want to do any of those things because I'll never make it. I'll never eat it. And that for me, as the man says on Shark Tank, I'm out.
How they're going to combine ribeye and scallops and cotton candy to make an entree?
Good for you. I'm out. But here's my point. We all have something, even in something we don't appreciate very much, and I don't appreciate a ton of food. Didn't you do something? Yeah, I'm looking at you. Matt Chernoff.
Yeah.
I apologize. I was very rude. I just looked at you and said, yes, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, yeah.
Matt Chernoff.
Yes, sir.
Didn't you do something where you videotaped you eating?
I was doing a quesadilla challenge.
Quesadilla challenge.
Yes. Okay. It was our cheap knockoff of Portnoy's pizza challenge.
Yeah. Right.
And then we lost track in about a month in and just stopped.
I think it's hard to keep track. If you're doing it, you're on an island, man. You need help.
Yeah. No.
So you did it.
Yeah, we did it.
And then you played it sort of straight.
We did. It was just, like I said, a cheap knockoff.
Do you think that was a work when that pizza guy came out and started yelling at Portnoy?
I mean, half the time I think there works, but he plays it so well that I don't know. At this point, it's like a wrestling character. Who cares?
Yeah. Now, did you do the whole?
I'm not sure that was legit, but
just like one bite, two bites.
So we did. Yes, it was two bites. His is one bite. That. Yeah, I told you it was a cheap knockoff of everything.
That shirt's three sizes too small. Star Wars.
There are some good quesadillas around, though.
Okay, but the big thing is he holds up the slice, and if it's soggy, that's a bad sign.
Like,
and
you want the undercarriage to be a little bit more firm than.
Yes. I have figured out the one thing that I could do. So these are.
I don't know if they call it an undercarriage, but back to you, Chris.
These are.
You obviously don't watch the pizza reviews.
I guess I don't.
I want it to crisp. I want to fold it in half, and I want it to crisp. I want to hear it quick. I want to hear it crack. That's me.
I don't want to hear undercarriage and pizza.
Not for everybody.
Mentioned in the same sentence.
Not for everybody.
Again, that's just me.
So did you do it on, what platform did you do it on?
We did it on X, and I think we put it on Facebook, and I think we put it on all these
so it's like
680 socials.
Instagrams and Snapchats, like it's quick reviews.
Yeah.
You know which one hasn't, I don't think it's been done yet. I do think there's a future. It might not be $1 million idea, mm-hmm. but it's a $10 idea. Why is nobody doing grandma sauce? Why is nobody doing grandma sauce? Because everybody says they have my family, this handed down. This I probably need two spoonfuls. Mm-hmm. Then my hook would be, then I take a nice piece of Italian bread and I dunk it into the whole pot.
Right.
Like and then I go, okay, look, this is sweet. It's mm-hmm. a little bit da-da-da-da-da-da. Then when I put it on bread, then we find out how consistent does it get soaked up? Does it drip off? Why has nobody done this?
Are you willing to go to somebody's kitchen each place and do this? Go to grandma's kitchen?
Look, it's the only
thing. I think you got to go the extra mile.
It's the only thing I think I'd be qualified to do. I could do burgers. That's been done. I could do pizza. That's been done.
And the grandmas will love you. Because older people love you.
But a lot of times it's grandma's dead. You'd want to pay an homage to grandma. Yeah. So you want to put her recipe up against people who are living.
Can I ask you a question, though? Are you willing to? Because Portnoy, to his credit, if the pizza's not good,
he was standing
in front of the guy's shop and he's like, it's not good.
What you do for small businesses, Dave.
I have no problem with that. Okay. If it's too garlicky, I'm going to tell you. Too oniony, I'm going to tell you.
You have an 82-year-old grandma looks like Estelle Getty. You're going to say, listen, it's not as good as you've been selling your family for years.
They scald you.
I don't think it's like ribs, the guys who have the trucks. That's actually, it's a truck, but it's only a grill. Mm-hmm. Like, have you ever seen those things? It's a grill, but it's the size of a truck. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's that crazy in a sauce world. I think barbecue has gotten really to be the one that, have my barbecue, mm-hmm. hey, I do this. They're a little bit crazy in my mind. But nobody's doing the simplest one, which is, what's the sauce like?
I think it's a great idea.
How's your gravy?
The other thing Portland's
done. How's your gravy? There's the name of the show.
Yeah,
how's your gravy?
It's fine. Y-A gravy.
How's your gravy?
Sponsor. How's your gravy?
I'd watch that.
Get a nice sponsor.
I'd watch that. How's your gravy?
Can I piggyback? And then I want to try everybody's
cookie. How's your family? How's your gravy?
I want your chocolate chip homemade cookie. Like a legit, not like you unroll it from the Nestle
thing. Let's just see how the sauce thing works, and then we'll
see if we can franchise it out. We'll do more, not less.
Jump the gun a little bit.
Fair.
But do you think, was it your mom's recipe or somebody before her?
My mother's recipe was the best I ever had.
Now, did she get... So here's what my mother was
She learned
talking.
From my grandmother.
My mom was 18.
So my grandmother's, I guess.
So my mom was 18 when she got engaged. Irish, Margaret Mary Matthews. She didn't know anything.
Wow.
So she's looking at my grandmother, her soon-to-be mother-in-law, saying, can you teach me? And my grandmother says, I don't have it written down. It's just a feel thing.
Right.
And I will say this about my mom. She picked up on how to make a gravy.
Well, so did my brother.
Might have taken a little bit. But she watched. She watched for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Nothing written down.
My wife now is making my brother's and my mom's and my grandmother's.
Is there a recipe?
Yeah, she made some yesterday.
So
it's actually really good. Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting.
Well, my mother was a hoarder, so she never threw anything out.
Hoarder,
hoarder. So they found all of the recipes. My grandmother was the same way. So they wrote down all the recipes. Okay. And when my sister was going through my mom's stuff recently, she found all these recipes. They wrote everything down.
So do you think it's different that my grandmother never wrote it down? It might
be. That's the difference between baking and cooking.
What's that mean?
Baking, if it says a pinch or an ounce or a quarter cup, it better be perfect.
Okay.
Cooking is, what do I feel?
Okay.
Cooking is just throw it in.
The other thing,
baking has to be precise.
The other thing my grandmother figured out, did your mom figure this out? Because my mom knew it from my grandmother. Different pastas require a different sauce.
Yeah.
Some sauces are a little bit lighter. Some are a little bit thicker. Mm-hmm. Ravioli gets a thicker sauce. Mm-hmm. You don't want a greasier type of thinner sauce. You want a thicker sauce on ravioli.
Yeah.
That's an art and a science.
What about a bolognese?
What's in a bolognese? I so didn't want it that
I
never
even. Yeah, that's a meat sauce. Is it not a bolognese?
But is it meat?
Yeah.
Just a meat sauce?
It can be veal. It can be.
Interesting.
The Il Giallo over in Sandy Springs. It'll take
care
of you.
Very impressive.
Okay.
You just throw a freebie to somebody right there. Look at you.
I'm being serious about this. I don't know. I grew up in Atlanta in the 70s and 80s. Did y'all ever eat Chef Boyardee out of a can?
Don't do that.
I'm going to throw you out of this room.
Okay.
Don't do that.
You're from the South.
If I, listen.
Wasn't bad, the one with the little meatballs in it?
If my father came home
especially if he had a couple of pops and he saw Chef Boyardee or Ragu, I can assure you that the jar would have been smashed off the wall.
Now, the ravioli wasn't
massive,
bad.
A massive ragu stain moving forward.
You do realize that's not the appropriate response.
I'm not saying it is appropriate. I'm just telling. He asked the question. I'm doing my best to honestly answer the question.
Because I'll be honest.
Maybe eat something different would be a different way to react.
Yeah, I don't like this. I like homemade sauce is what a normal person
and
would say.
And that's fine.
My father would convey the message differently.
My mother, God rest her soul, was an awful cook. So she wasn't making many homemade things. A lot was coming out of, you know, cans and in jars and that type of thing. As an 8-year-old, I didn't know better.
Thank you. 8-year-old with a microwave in Dunwoody. Yeah. Because it wasn't bad.
Yeah. You grew up in an ignorant house. That's
I'm just saying. But, my parents are dead to me.
Here's the difference.
They can't fight back.
But here's the difference. No.
Rest in peace.
Hold on. Now I'm going to bring it back.
Wow.
And my kids grew up in an ignorant house because we would absolutely. They had the little Ringos or whatever they were.
Sure.
Chef Boyardee.
The ABCDs.
Right, because it's just easier.
It is.
That's not my generation.
I know.
You happen to fall in. This is weird. Yeah. You fall into my kids' generation.
It's true.
Because this is acceptable because as a parent, you're just going, I just need to microwave for two minutes. I just need to get it hot.
The best thing my mom would make was reservations. He was great at making reservations. I mean, it's...
Your father would be like my father. That you might as well put dog food.
Yeah.
You might as well open up a can of dog food.
You don't understand. Like, if my mother made chicken, my father would flip out.
He
would say, I loathe chicken. And then he would say, potatoes are for pigs, which I still don't know what that means.
It's alliteration. I think he was just hitting the peas.
I guess.
And then he was hitting something else. We won't talk about that.
Don't look at me. I'm just telling you.
It explains a lot
as to who I am.
Everything was pan fried in my mom's kitchen. Right. And she had the second jar of Crisco where you poured the. Do you know about the second jar of Crisco? Do you know what Crisco is?
Of course I know what Crisco is.
Okay. My mother, when she would cook meat, like she would cook the, my brother Jim says, cook the blank out of it. Overcook everything, yeah.
But it becomes fried. Like, so.
It's chicken. It's good for you. Well, not really.
Pan-fried something.
Pork chop.
There should just be fat in the pan.
Bread crumbs are everywhere. Yeah. You pour the fat into the second jar of Crisco, and then you can reuse that.
There you go. It's good for you. It's pork. It's chicken. Not really, Mom.
How much was
breaded? Not really. I might as well just eat a bunch of French fries.
Quite a bit of it.
Yeah, like pork chops would get breaded.
Absolutely. Everything would be breaded and fried. Pan-fried with the long fork she would move across the pan.
If you ate healthy, my mom, today she died. Remember, I kind of changed my diet a few years ago. She goes, you still on that diet? No, Mom, it's just I'm trying to eat better. It's not a diet.
As much fat.
We weren't doing things normally.
Right. Not eating a loaf of bread with everything, Mom.
She was calling you a quitter.
Yeah.
That's what she was doing. She's calling you a quitter. My son, the quitter.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she was saying.
It's a different time and place.
Yeah. But God rest their souls.
She didn't understand low carbs.
No, they meant well. They meant well. So I guess this brace surgery is supposed to mean well for Spencer Strider. He's supposed to recover quicker. Supposed to being the key to that phrase.
If the Tommy John, I guess, would have had him out mid-season, maybe longer of next year, so the brace will get him back a little bit sooner. You just hope. Like, everybody describes this. Like, we're all internet doctors now. Every time I read this, I was like, somebody's writing, well, this is just a Band-Aid, essentially. I mean, it's going to happen again. I'm like, maybe. I have no idea. I have no clue what happens on the inside of an elbow or the recovery of any of this.
And there's a very limited sample size when it comes to this brace surgery. In other words, it's fairly new. So we don't know.
And not everybody heals the same way. Not everybody's torque on their arm is the same thing. And not everybody and not everybody and not everybody.
Have you talked to Tommy John? Does he care about becoming a common noun? Because it's a thing now. It's not a person.
No, he's perfectly okay with it.
Okay.
All right. I would be.
Because he did other stuff. Didn't he win like 250 games?
Yeah, more than that, I think. Yeah, he's never going to get.
I think Tommy was one of those guys, I'll allege, may put snot on the baseball toward the end.
Okay.
He was loading that thing up.
All right.
Got his nose running a little bit.
I don't blame him.
Jalapeno?
I don't have him.
Domino, what would you like your name on for a surgery? Because it is a weird honor to say the Tommy John surgery. The Chris Domino surgery, is that some sort of a... Give me a couple of those L2, S3s in the back there.
How about we just name the studio after you, once you pass on? The Chris Domino studio.
That's bad karma. I just want this mic.
Yeah, but I think a surgery travels with you anywhere. You go to your doctor, you're like, okay, we're going to perform the Chris Domino surgery.
But you want it to be good, like Bird writes. Larry Bird flexes. He was like, everybody who gets broke off because of me. They call it me rights.
But you have people choosing Tommy John now at a young age. So they're not even needing it.
Yeah, that's normal. It's not child abuse or anything.
Of course.
Well, that would be like shoving your kid in a box and trying to make sure they're small enough to pass for younger than they really are, and then hoping the natural growth spurt happens once you free them from said box.
Right.
You got to be a different kind of. I did see a seventh grade baseball game yesterday.
Foie gras.
Maris, do you? How old are you? Is your kid in seventh grade?
My oldest is a junior.
Don't you have a seventh grader?
My daughter's seventh grade.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if it's the same with girls. I watched the seventh grade. Maris played Blessed Trinity in a middle school tournament. The disparity in sizes of these kids.
It's frightening.
sixth to ninth grade is the sweet spot. By 10th grade, you kind of look like you're probably going to look, except for the exceptions, David Robinson.
I've seen it with the girls. And there were some girls who were exceptionally taller and some girls. I had one who was smaller, then she finally grew. But in the guys, I asked two different people, are we sure these kids are all the same age?
And it's not just the height, by the way. I went to a couple of high school games last year. They all look like football players playing baseball now. Like the size, you're 6'4", but you're also 230.
But it was also like explained to me, and my daughter had this. Her boyfriend, I think, was a full year and a half older than her. They were in the same grade. And they said, no, that's going on here. That kid just turned 12.
Right.
That kid is already 14. And you go, oh, okay.
I went through that with my son,
Go to a 5A game in the state of Georgia on a Friday night. You'll see a guy who looks like he's about 30. Yeah.
He drove.
He's a junior.
Left tickets.
My kid's almost 5'7" now. He was like in seventh grade when he was playing in tournaments that you mentioned. He was like 4'10". He was that kid where everybody was going, who is this kid?
But the other one that'll tell the tale, like this weekend was the first prom weekend in Metro.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And you'll see the difference. These girls all look like, with the makeup and the dresses, they're in their 20s, and these boys look like we all did, where we just looked like we were 12 years old.
Like, at a place in a tuxedo is
nothing
what we look
fits.
Like.
Nah.
You will see the difference in, like, maturity level or just all of it. Since when, by the way, are we doing prom April 13th?
Like, a little early. It's supposed to be like May, first, second week of May.
Anyway.
Can I tell you why I think? My guess is everybody's looking for prom in the same 2 weeks. You have no place to have it.
Maybe.
You probably have to start it earlier now just April. So you have a place to actually
like
go.
I feel like prom was like right before baccalaureate. It was before graduation and everything. Like,
how was
boom,
your prom?
Boom, boom.
How was your prom?
It was fine.
Okay.
My prom was terrible.
I didn't like anything. It was fine.
I didn't have fun at all.
She had to go home at like, for some reason, in the middle of the night. I'd get around like 3 in the morning. I've never heard of such a thing.
For some reason, I had a tuxedo with tails on it. I don't know why.
Well, that's
Jim Carrey?
How was your prom?
It was a bad decision.
I had a blast.
Okay.
You had a good time.
Yeah, I had a great prom.
I had a good time. What was your, you were angry every year?
No, it was what it was. I mean, I was dating the girl for like 2 years. We went to prom together.
It was just another night out.
Right.
It was just happened to cost more.
It's really not.
When
you've
had a girlfriend in high school, prom comes around, you're like, damn, prom.
Yeah.
If you're single, it's an opportunity to kind of advance the ball down the field. If you're dating, you're like, frick, and I'm about to graduate too.
We're just friends. Mm-hmm. What did you guys do after prom around here?
So we got a hotel. You're going to laugh. I think we had like a room at like the Residence Inn Marriott.
Mm-hmm. How many people?
It was a lot. We had two big rooms. There was probably 20 plus people.
And everybody split, like the guys split the cost?
Yeah. Split the cost of the limo and the hotel and booze and stupid stuff.
I don't even remember. I think I went to my girlfriend's house.
Yeah.
At the end of the night. That was it. I stayed overnight there. A lot of her parents loved me.
They loved you?
Yeah, they did.
They allowed you?
They didn't know. They didn't know.
Wow.
How about you?
I don't know why they did, but they did.
Senior prom, went over to somebody's house for a party, had a 4-pack of coolers. Bartles and James Berry coolers.
You're crazy.
That's nutty.
You're crazy.
That's what I could get that night.
All right, today. No way to segue.
You're 18. What are you doing? I'm sorry. You're 18. You take what you get.
Today's the 15th tax
day. She liked coolers.
Of April. All right.
Means I kind of like coolers.
No one's judging you.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, I am judging. Why don't you just tell me Zima?
It didn't happen in 86.
Oh, okay.
Zima.
1865 on this date, Abe Lincoln dies 9 hours after being shot by John Wilkes Booth. That's your audio.
Semper Tyrannis.
Jumps on the stage, Wilkes Booth, and that's what he says, Latin for thus always to tyrants.
Domino, you have either member, either a relative of Wilkes Booth or Abe Lincoln through the years, anybody, a great grandchild?
No, but have you ever seen the
Sam Lincoln.
Francis Bacon. Samuel Mudd.
Yeah, no, I know the names. Did you ever see the
Tony Wilkes Booth?
What's My Line? What's My Line had a guy on who was the oldest living in Ford Theater that night.
I think I have seen this guy. Yeah,
he was like, I actually had the video as I was watching the Masters. I put forth this email last night. I was going to use it, but there was nothing really there.
It's one of the game shows you had to figure out where his place in history was.
One big bandage over his. He was barely hanging on.
But hearing the guy say who he was, what his claim was amazing.
It's eerie. You're right. To hear that he was there.
I'm not sure he said much.
Because he was like 6 years old when he was in the theater or something.
No, the guy who hosted the show.
Yeah, the host was doing a lot of talking for the guy. I don't think he knew where he was.
Maybe.
You guys really think...
They could have said he was at the burning bush. Right. Yeah, sure.
You guys really think Lincoln made 9 more hours?
Come on. Man, we'll never know. That's the story. 1912 on this date, the Titanic sinks at 2:27 a.m. off Newfoundland. As the band plays on.
Yeah. saw the Detroit Free Press today. They had one of the biggest misses. Apologize. I thought we were just listening to the band. They wrote "Everybody Survived." Every pest. That was the headline of the Detroit Free Press. Yeah, it's
everyone's fine. There's nothing to see here.
Historic Vids had it this morning.
Are they blaming AI?
They just missed it. The report they got was everybody survived the Titanic.
And let me tell you that Jim Cameron's got some splaining to do.
He's a liar, I tell you.
I saw Leo go down.
Everybody's going to wear 42 tonight. Jackie Robinson on this date in 1947 becomes the first African-American to play Major League Baseball.
The pressure on Jackie Robinson was enormous. The Dodgers owner, Branch Rickey, who took the risk of hiring the first black player, warned Robinson he would be held to the highest standards imaginable.
I'll certainly do my very best on the field.
I'm very sure you will.
Can you imagine being in that position?
No.
No matter what is done to you, no matter what they say to you, you can't do anything.
Turn the other cheek.
Well,
turn the other cheek, Jackie.
He appealed, both his mom and Jackie's mom. The appeal was, let's break out the Bible and let's put it in some biblical terms. And that's exactly what it was.
And then Jim Brown came along and was like, F that noise. He's the guy to change it. Doby's the guy who gets forgotten.
Yeah.
Like, he was in the American League, and like everything they put in place around Jackie, they're like, all right, Larry, you go do it on your own.
Yeah, he was pretty much on his own with the Indians. 1955, Ray Kroc opens his first McDonald's, Inc. fast food restaurant in Des Plaines, Iowa.
Bravo, bravo.
Looks like we've been hamburgled. These are our best burgers ever.
Bravo, bravo. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I think that's what he had in mind. Ray Kroc, when he first purchased McDonald's.
He got paid more money to do those spots. We all agree, until his succession payday.
Bravo, bravo.
That's the hamburglar, Chris.
Yeah, thank you. I'm well aware. I know the McDonald's characters like the back of my own hand.
Do you? Could you go through them?
No, not really.
The fry guy.
Mary McCheese,
I would know.
Right.
If you show me a picture of Mary McCheese.
Grimace, I get that. The big purple dude?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, purple
blob.
Dude?
Yeah.
Whatever he was.
Whatever.
I'm not sure what he was.
Purple.
You're right. He wasn't anatomically correct. That's a fair. I shouldn't have said that. The purple being.
Hey, was this after Ray Kroc stole McDonald's from those two guys?
Yes. The McDonald's brothers.
Yeah.
Is that Michael Keaton movie we're seeing?
It is. Oh, it's interesting.
Maybe the hamburger was loosely based on Ray Kroc. Who knows?
The greatest marketing company of all time. What they did to get kids, especially if you look at their sweet spot in the early 80s with the Happy Meal. And by the way, Ronald McDonald's creepy. Like, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But yet it still drew people in a way that every kid wanted a Happy Meal, so mom and dad got the burger with it.
They would have, like, the local arm of the telephone, the Jerry Lewis telephone, and they would bring in somebody else as Ronald McDonald, and he would have, you know, even as a kid, he had a completely different voice. You go, that's not Ronald McDonald. That's just some guy.
That's insulting.
He saved the Padres. They were moving to D.C., and Ray Kroc bought them and kept them in San. If you care about saving the Padres, he saved the Padres.
I will say, McDonald's nice breakfast.
They also did? My guess is they put up that over 1 billion served before they really got to a billion.
How would you know?
Yeah. That's a great marketing concept.
It was like Bob Watson. You're like,
they've sold a billion of them? I want one. Mm-hmm. Right now. And then who did the drive-thru first? Because it used to be they delivered to your car.
Had to be McDonald's.
No, but they...
I used to be able to pull up to McDonald's and they would come out like Sonic does now.
Right.
But I think McDonald's did the first.
I wonder if they're giving credit for being the first drive-thru.
Someone will know.
It really is a game changer, though. If you think about the drive-thru opportunity and then banks started giving you drive-thru options.
Remember what McDonald's was before it was a drive-thru. They had that big open window in the front. You walked up.
That's absolutely true.
And you walked up and there was a couple of sliding glass doors, windows, and then you put in your order. Then eventually somebody said, why make them get out of the car?
You would think they'd be faster at the drive-thru by now, McDonald's.
Well, it really is your want to be faster.
And they do offer a lot more than they used to.
I don't need more.
But there's no. I used to get away with $3.50,
right?
Being pretty good. Now, like that Big Mac meal is $11.
Yep.
I give you the two double cheeseburgers for $3.89.
They've pulled. There was
$3.23. Now it's $3.89.
It's still under $4. You are correct about that.
1966, the Rolling Stones release Aftermath, their fourth studio album. This a part of that LP, as they called them back at the time. Great Charlie Watts. Mother's Little Helper, the other hit.
Yeah, that's right.
Which was way ahead of its time.
Yes.
Right about a...
Don't, it doesn't matter.
A mother popping speed to get her through the day. 1966.
Now, you mentioned Ray Kroc stealing McDonald's.
Bravo, bravo.
Did they steal the Rolling Stones from Brian Jones?
This is Brian Jones playing sitar in the song. Brian Jones was the best.
They kind of pushed him to the point.
Well, it was his band.
And it wasn't his band.
Keith and Mick started writing the songs, and he wanted to stay with, like, the blues stuff, Brian Jones, that they did early. And they were like, nah, we're not doing that.
And then one of them pushed him in the pool?
He hated Satisfaction.
So do you
know, all alleged, Chuck.
Raymond Zarek was on David Letterman one time, and they're talking about Jerry Garcia. And he asked him, that, you know, the rumor is Jerry... He's talking about Jim Morrison. And he says, the rumor is Jim Morrison is still alive. And Ray goes, look, I can't get into it, but I promise you he's dead. How would you know? Because I would know he's dead. Then he asked him, did you ever think about having the band go on? And he starts naming a couple of people that they thought about might actually be able to sing. Iggy Pop. And then Mick Jagger. But as he said, but he already had a job. They were going to go to Mick Jagger to see if he wanted to front when Morrison died in the early 70s. Like, get out of that and come over to us.
Glad they did.
But he just
everybody in Baltimore.
Didn't happen. He had a job.
1994, on this day, Tony Bennett records a session for MTV's Unplugged.
Poets often use many words to say a simple thing. It takes thought and time and rhyme. It
takes thought and time and rhyme and a lot of reefer. Come up with some of these here lyrics. With anybody holding?
Words I've been playing.
See, Elvis Costello, Katie Lang, among others. Here with Tony Bennett. I guess this album won 2 Grammys.
It did, yeah. Unplugged did very well for
him. Hey, man, this is wild. You mean to tell me we're not going to use anything electric? I thought about this a few years ago, but I got some bad stuff from Mexico. I just thought I was having a bad trip.
I don't know why that show confused people so much. It was called Unplugged.
Right.
But yet people didn't understand the concept.
There he goes.
I don't know that about Tony Bennett. Was he...
In his mind, he's been a big reefer guy since he came up with the character.
Yeah, man.
Oh, it's a... Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's sort of a character.
You gotta be careful every now and then. You don't set your wig on fire, man.
I didn't know.
Hey, did wig?
You hear Jim Nance do his Paul Anka reference?
Yeah.
He had an hour. Like, even if... He had an hour. That thing was over. He came up with Times of Your Life.
Brian Dennehy passed away on this date at the age of 81 in 2020.
I could have killed them all. I could have killed you. I'm telling you, the law, I hear it's me. Don't push it. Don't push it. I'll give you a war you won't believe. Let it go. Let it go.
But Big Tom Callahan wouldn't listen.
Surprised.
Just wouldn't listen.
Surprised you didn't go that way.
Did he make it?
I looked. There was really nothing
from him. He was like a straight man in it, essentially.
Did he make it to 81? Most big guys don't make it to 81.
He was big.
He
should have had some mainstream success more than TV movies and supporting stuff. He should have had something.
Maybe you don't want it, Chuck. Maybe you don't want all the money.
You don't want it, Coach. Maybe it didn't work as hard.
He was like being a six man.
He was worth $6 million when he passed. So
fair, he worked for himself.
The sepsis got him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Joey Ramone passed away on this date in 2001. I think all of the Ramones are morphed. Are they not? They're all dead, right? He was 49 when he passed away. I'm guessing he OD'd. I don't have that in front of me.
Unnatural causes, you're thinking?
Yeah, I'm guessing
he OD'd. Went to sleep and didn't
wake up. Also worth $6 million. I don't get this.
Why don't we play a game one day? How'd they die?
Pro wrestler? What are you going to say? Heart attack?
A lot of them were.
What's the thing that officially it says in the Wikipedia page? Sometimes they might. Try to make it nice.
Joey had lymphoma.
Oh, really?
This is the guy. This
don't
is
apologize.
The one, I do apologize. He was the one that looked like Howard Stern, so I apologize. I should have known. You have to yell at me.
Well, none of them are actually Ramones.
I've done that if you yelled at me or not. Condolences to the family.
Thank you. The Ramones take your condolences.
Keeping them straight is kind of like keeping the traveling Wilburys straight. I mean, they're not.
Joey Ramone was Jeffrey Ross Hyman.
Yeah, they're
more. Ramone sells better.
There were no Ramones or.
It's the Hymans. not really the same.
Sit on the bill. Let's go see the Hymans tonight, man.
What are you going to the dentist?
So it comes full circle. We said with Johnny Paycheck. Donald Eugene Little was not really going to work as being the guy who's authority, screw you.
Sometimes it's better to change your name. This guy played Don Barzini in The Godfather. Richard Conte passed away on this date.
The Tatalia people, should I insist that all these drug middlemen at Queen Records?
Nice, man. Don't insist. Barzini is a man who knows that without being told.
You mean Tatalia?
Tatalia's a pimp. He never could have outfought Santino. But I didn't know until this day that it was...
We got his.
Do you think
running up the steps.
Can I ask? I haven't seen it. What's the evolution of Brando's voice in this? Like, what do you think? Didn't he come in one day and probably just go, this is how I see it? And they were like, oh, okay, Marlon.
If I'm not mistaken, the book, he was, the Vito Corleone character was shot in the throat. So that's why he had a raspy voice. So that's why I think Brando went with that, if I'm not mistaken.
All right. I read
the book, but it was about 30 years ago.
Yeah, I'm assuming he didn't have to audition. But at a certain point, because it's Brando, doesn't he come in and give you his idea, his take on the character?
Well, he does whatever he wants, yeah. And you go, yes, sir, Mr. Brando.
We talked about the Titanic going down. Edward Smith was the captain of the Titanic, and needless to say, he passed away on this date.
Do you remember what we both did? What did we both do about that scene?
I slow-moed it
on like a TiVo type device.
Looking for what?
Just to see how'd they do that?
Right, if
that
was CGI
guy got wiped
or not.
Out.
Yeah.
He died. No, he really went down.
No, the actor.
Cut. All right, guys.
You say it's real. That was real water coming in.
I think so, yeah.
That couldn't have been a real guy then.
I don't
think
so.
That had to be a mannequin.
I think
you can't survive that.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever
heard.
These are the arguments we had.
Yeah.
Not a real guy, could it? That propeller.
Two imbeciles.
Do you understand what happened? Jim Cameron killed two people, real actors, and they're like, whoa, we got a mannequin this thing.
If you're going to get an Oscar, right.
The Twilight Zone set the bar.
Yeah.
There were a lot of stupid people involved in the real Titanic, though.
Jack Dawson also passed away on this date in 1912.
He
20
did,
years
yeah.
old.
Winning that ticket, Rose, was the best thing that ever happened to me. It brought me to you.
If I'd be this happy,
me
I'm thankful for move that. Over a little bit.
It's been a couple of days.
Right. She's the only one that survives, right?
What do you mean?
Like, you know, the people that were floating there.
No.
No, there were several other
what's
people.
What's his name? The bad guy with the bald head.
Same. People on the boat.
He got on the other side, right.
No, I'm talking about the bodies that were in the water.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, she had the whistle and she was found.
But I don't think anybody, I think everybody else was dead.
What kind of movie did you want? She got to go drop the thing in the ocean, ladies.
I think you're sort of putting some people. There might have been some other survivors on that boat.
Well, I didn't see any.
No, listen.
No, overall, she had the door to herself.
No, when the boats came back, they found people alive.
Mm.
Floating. They found people alive. Not many because it was cold.
But he's right. Billy Zane went to the other side, used his money and his, you know, his wealth.
I know.
Although she found out later he put a pistol in his mouth when the stock market crashed.
And she didn't seem unhappy.
No, why should you? Because no good, Nick.
You always get yours eventually. Chris Stapleton's birthday is today. We're $25 million.
Wow.
And climbing.
Ask that guy if 7 years
ago. I'd kill you, Domino, to be able to sing like this. I'd kill you. Right here in front of everybody.
I almost don't blame you.
How would you do it?
I want it to be as quick and painless as possible.
Okay.
Maybe a couple of hollow points. Boom, boom.
Gotcha.
Let me ask you this.
And then you just start
double
humming.
If you had his...
He never knew what hit him. No, that's suffering. I wouldn't do that to you, Chris.
If you had his talent, do you think you would have parlayed it into $25 million? Because I don't.
No, I'd be dead.
You would have gone on a nice little couple of year run, and then it would have been over.
I would have destroyed my voice.
Oh, you don't think so?
I disagree. I think you would have been
like Brian Wilson. I would have destroyed my voice.
I think you would have been a bar legend someplace, and just when it was about to turn and maybe get big.
Get a record deal, it ends beforehand.
Because you wouldn't be able to handle it.
Michael Stanley.
You wouldn't be able to handle it.
Right.
Almost made it.
Almost. This close.
Yeah.
That is an immense talent to take that voice and turn it into something.
Well, and he's one of the originals in the sense that. We got out of the video age. Mm-hmm. We wanted you to look a little bit more real in the country world.
Mm-hmm.
He was just on Saturday Night Live, and he doesn't give a rip.
He stopped caring.
But I don't think he cared in the beginning.
He might not have.
This is who he is.
But
I would add this. There are so many great voices in the world that never either get discovered or get the lucky break or in the right place.
Oh, my gosh. I just saw a TV commercial. Jelly Roll is playing like the Carolina Hurricanes place in Raleigh. Like, that's... I just saw the... Now, he plays all arenas like that, apparently. Blew my mind that's the size of arena that got headlines at.
And it took him until 40 after jail and drugs and all of it.
Stapleton's 46, so it took him a while as well. Frank Vincent would have celebrated a birthday today.
Now go home and get your f***ing shine box.
Mother f***ing what? You
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on, keep him here.
Feeling strong.
Wonderful. Such a good scene.
Did I get all of them?
And then, he was close.
I think so, yeah.
And then when Sorvino asks him, Bats, people are asking you, you know anything?
Wherever he is, they should keep him there.
He came in a joint. That's all I know.
How about the perfect use of mutt.
Oh, it's great.
You know,
the tone was perfect.
Well, that's why that's another
Bum,
movie.
You like gotta, Bum, you better use it the right way.
You got to watch it more than once because there are things said that you don't catch the first, like, two or three times. I'm not saying you have to be crazy like me and watch it over and over again, but that's the beauty of YouTube. You can just watch scenes
that's
over
true.
And over again.
They do give you clips.
I watched a documentary I texted you this weekend on the making of American Pie.
Yeah. I saw
not the movie, but the song.
I saw it, too. I wasn't overly impressed.
No? Don McLean tried to shoot down all of the theories about the song. I'm not buying what he's selling. He tried to say it wasn't, you know, rock and roll, like...
Buddy Holly.
The gesture wasn't Bob Dylan who took the crown off of Elvis. Oh, okay. He's trying to say none of that.
But the overarching is still about the plane crash.
Still about Buddy Holly, yeah.
All right.
No, but he says that even there was a lyric
the
there.
Imagery is not what we assigned it.
That's interesting.
And he's still alive.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He just means interesting.
That's a few years old.
The 50th anniversary of that song.
I think he's dating like a 22-year-old Don McLean.
A little bit older than that, but you're right. She was much younger.
Wait, how old is he?
75, I bet you.
He may be older than that.
Yeah, he's not dating her.
They talked about the album cover with the
thumb.
Yeah, the American flag on the thumb. Captain America shield, as somebody called it.
That's the perfect.
He's 78.
Don't make it a documentary. Make it a little bit shorter. I thought there was a lot of stuff in there that
it was really long.
Did radio stations play the full 9 minutes?
Yeah, that was the exception.
Yeah, it was the and that was another big twist to it because they shortened it and then people insisted they play the whole thing anyway. Yeah. Thomas F. Wilson celebrates a birthday today.
We're flying in a plane or
back to the future.
The street, there's a lot of famous people that I like to
it's this big song.
They shake my hand and never ask my name. And they start asking questions that are always the same. Hey, what's Michael J. Fox like? He's nice. What's Michael J. Fox like? Nice guy. It's Michael J. Fox like? He's an alien. Stop asking.
It just keeps going on and on. When he was in studio, were you working with us when he was in studio?
Yeah.
One of the biggest thrills of my life, meeting.
What are you looking at, butthead?
Missed out.
Yeah. You were having a very serious meeting.
Management had me up front, a conference room, and Cellini, we had these glass doors in there, an old building, pops right in like he was.
Oh, I kicked the door.
He was like Kramer running into a scene.
Hey, gotta get back here, man. And I go, Biff's here. I got this. Never mind the meeting. Biff's here.
I think they were telling us, Chuck, you're not on the air anymore. Chuck Smith is going to be Matt's new host.
I don't care.
That was
Biff's
shot.
He was so excited. I'm like,
no, he's here right now. He's here.
I don't have time right now.
Do you know that
got a new show starting tomorrow, Nick. A little busy.
Three months ago, I saw a clip. He was in Orlando. He was at one of those cons, and he was doing something. But he plays out. I guess he's supposed to be a very nice guy.
Yeah.
He comes like, great with us.
His reputation is he's a very nice guy. So he sees a guy in the crowd. He goes, this is where I blow my whole reputation. You! And he starts screaming at him. Like he owes him money. He said everybody turned around not believing that this was this guy yelling at somebody.
Last year, he ended up at a con with Christopher Lloyd went. Leah Thompson went with him. Like, typically, he'll go himself. Michael J. Fox doesn't come out very much at all for obvious reasons. But, like, a ton of them showed up, which I heard just blew the lid off one of these
reunions. Those hoverboards really work. It's a movie.
The manure. Yeah. It's a movie. It's not real.
Dave Edmonds.
He did have a good line on Crispin Glover, though.
Celebrates a birthday. You're right. Unusual. Is that what he said?
Yes.
80 years old is Dave.
Never got this.
Really?
Never got this song.
It's hitting this. It's hitting this.
I don't mind this song. I actually like it. You ever hear this, Matt?
He must have had a claim to fame because other musicians loved him.
This is not ringing a bell.
He played forever.
He was a part of the All-Star Band.
Yeah.
Maybe still is a part of Ringo's All-Star Band. I'll come on your show, but I won't talk about
Dave
the Beatles.
Mason. Dave Mason.
I'll only talk about the All-Star Band. Peace and love.
We blew that one. We were a little bit too high and mighty.
You should have sabotaged him. What was he going to do? Hang up on us?
Yeah, you'd weave your way into it somehow, right?
I think he would have answered a couple of questions.
You know what it is?
Gentlemen, now I have to go. Peace and love. Have to be going.
We had too much integrity. I want you to think about that sentence. We had too much integrity.
Idiots.
You're not going to put parameters on this interview. We're not doing it.
All right.
That's what we said.
We're not going to talk to a Beatle.
Idiots.
Yeah, well, got that
instead,
right.
You had Buster.
You treated Ringo
for 20 minutes.
Let's get Roy Firestone back on. Colin Madden, Brian Gebhardt, thank you. Adam Gillespie and Matt Lear, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We are back tomorrow at 11. Cellini D'Amino, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.